This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU and 88.5 WMUB. I'm Mark Purzell. She's the chef owner of Flower Bakery and Cafe in Boston. It opened first in 2000 and has since branched out to three other locations in the Boston area. And just a few years ago, she shared some of her bakery recipes in a cookbook called Flower, named after the Flower Bakery and Cafe. Now, the second Flower 2 cookbook is out, and that's T-O-O-2. And on the phone with me is Joanne Chang to talk about this new cookbook. Good afternoon, Joanne, and thanks for being on Cincinnati Edition.
Thank you so much for having me.
I have to ask you, I thought covered a lot of bases in the first Flower cookbook. Why Flower 2? Because I know it's a lot of work for a busy lady like yourself.
You know, it's so funny. When I wrote the first Flower book, like you just said, I felt like I covered a lot of bases. I went through our entire pastry menu and basically wrote the book in the same way that we have our recipe books. It's breakfast pastries, cookies, cakes, tarts, and breads. And when the book came out about 2.5-3 years ago, people immediately emailed and wrote and stopped by the bakery and said, you know, thank you for sharing all of your baking secrets, but you're missing the entire savory part of Flower Bakery. We're a bakery and a cafe. And I started to recognize that there are sandwiches and soups and salads and dinner specials and so many other savory treats that we make that many of our customers know us for. So that led to writing the second book. And now my husband likes to tease me, if you take the first book and the second book together, you can basically open your own bakery cafe.
Well, I was going to ask about giving away all the secrets, Joanne, because it does seem that you're covering all the bases. But you do say in the introduction, you talk about how many people ask you on a daily basis, how can I open my own Flower bakery and cafe?
Well, the recipes are an important part for sure, but they are by no means the only part. And so, you know, if people think I'm giving away trade secrets or if any of my staff are worried that, you know, we're going to be overrun with competitors, what I have learned over the last 13 years that we've had Flower is that the recipes are important, but the people are even more so. And, you know, anybody can take these recipes and tweak them to suit their taste and open a place. And I would love it if there were, you know, more bakery and cafes out there. But really what makes a place go round and round is the people that you have. And that is something that you really can't teach in a book. I mean, you can certainly try. There's plenty of management books out there. But trying to figure out how to build a team and get everybody to kind of follow the same mission that you have has been what I've spent the last, you know, 13 years working on.
Well, as you lay out also in the introduction, you talk about what a typical day at the Flower Bakery and Cafe is, and I don't believe people realize how much work it is.
Yeah, you know, it starts early at 4 in the morning when we have our morning bakers come in, and it goes straight until about 10 or 11 at night when the whole place gets scrubbed down and the last of the stocks are put on the stove. And I agree with you. I think a lot of people, you know, they come in and they might think that it's something that is, maybe they don't think it's easy, but it seems very reasonable. And once you plunge into it, there are so many moving parts, but that's what makes it challenging, and that's what makes it fun. So, you know, I think it's something that we love to do every day, but there's so much that goes on behind the scenes that as a customer, you don't necessarily, you're not even aware of it. I mean, like I said, it starts early at 4 and ends at 11.
I have to relate a little to your story. I went to college at the University of Cincinnati, to the College Conservatory of Music to be a violinist, and I realized there were a lot more talented violinists in line ahead of me. And you started out as applied math and economics major at Harvard and now run restaurants.
I think I went through something probably similar from what you did, it sounds like. I, you know, studied math and economics, and I liked it, and I even sometimes loved it, but there were so many other people who were so much more suited to pursue careers in that field. And I spent a couple years as a management consultant doing so before I realized that my true passion really is in baking, you know, cooking and then baking primarily. And I think, you know, having the background in math and economics has certainly helped over the years in running the business, but it was never something that I felt like was going to be my life career. I mean, I think I wanted it to be, but, Man, you go into that first math class and you realize that there are so many more people who are better suited to be there than you are, and it's a very humbling experience. But it helps you hone what it is that you're interested in, and for that reason, I found it very valuable.
So between the first cookbook and the new one, Flour 2, Indispensable Recipes for the Cafe's Most Loved Sweets and Savories, what did you learn from the first one that you included in the second? Beyond the savory recipes.
Question. Yeah. Well, what I learned, what I kind of knew but didn't realize until I finally was writing down the savory recipes is, you know, I've always known there's a difference between being a chef and being a pastry chef. And within a restaurant or a bakery, there's always a little bit of kind of teasing that goes on between the sweet side and the savory side. When you're a pastry chef, everything is meticulously measured. Every recipe is followed to the T. You know, you've got timers, you've got scales. Everything is very, very controlled. And in a savory recipe, it's so much more free-for-all. And I knew that experientially, but I didn't realize how much until I sat down to try to write these savory recipes. And it was a really good learning experience for me to take all of the things that we do at Flour every single day and try to put them down in a format that somebody who's never been to the bakery can pick up the book, open up a recipe, and be able to recreate what we've done. And it means taking some of the creativity that goes into creating these recipes and then applying like a pastry mind to them so that you can measure things enough so that other people can follow them. But it was a really fun challenge for me. You know, I got to follow my chefs around all day long and learn a little bit more about how their minds work, which again is very different from how the pastry team works.
You lay out some great information in Flour 2, Joanne, talking about in our vocabulary, in our pantry, in our refrigerator, in our cabinets, in our heads, and talking about the process of cooking and putting together these just delicious recipes. I find that too often cookbooks take for granted you know the language, you know the ingredients, and it really, for the home cook, I find that more important than the recipes themselves sometimes.
Yeah, you know, it's not too long ago that I was just a home cook, you know, reading cookbooks and trying to make things at home myself. And so I've never been too far away from that, you know, memory of trying to figure out recipes and trying to learn how to bake. And I think that perspective, I didn't go to cooking school. I really am self-taught. You know, I had jobs where my chefs became my mentors and they taught me. And I still have very clear memories of the first time I learned, for example, how to julienne something. And I think having that perspective really helped in writing the book because I know that people who like to cook, they want to be able to recreate what is either in the book or at the restaurant that they've gone to or the cafe. And like you said, I think sometimes chefs take for granted what home cooks know. And so I tried really hard to put myself back into amateur mode before I got into a professional kitchen. And I tried to remember what are the things that confused me or what are the things that I didn't really understand when I was reading a recipe. And I got a lot of help from my chefs where I asked them. I said, all of you guys have friends who cook, who you've either helped cook, you know, help them in the kitchen, or maybe you have a spouse that you try to help in the kitchen. What are the struggles that they face? And they flooded me with, you know, ideas and suggestions of things that home cooks don't necessarily think of that we in the professional kitchen take for granted. So I'm really hoping that that does help home cooks be able to work a little bit more smoothly in the kitchen, which then will lead to more happy cooking and baking.
Well, in the section In Our Heads where you're passing along that great advice from your chefs, I like number 5 there, clean as you go. That you say the chefs say that's the most important tip to pass along to home cooks.
Yes, I think that would be the one tip that they would say has to be in the book. I still remember when I was a beginning pastry cook, I was assigned to make a wedding cake for one of our customers. And it was kind of a special project for me to get this designation to make this wedding cake. And I came in early, and I made the wedding cake, and I was so proud of it. But what I didn't realize is that in making the wedding cake, I had literally dirtied the entire kitchen. And when all of the pastry cooks came in, because I'd gone in really early to make this cake, and when everybody came in for their shift and walked into this really dirty kitchen, there was a lot of teasing that went on that day. And it made me realize how important, you know, it's great if you can cook well, it's great if you can bake a great cake, but if you can't clean as you go, it really does speak to how your mind is processing through a recipe. And so cleaning as you go just allows you to enjoy the process so much more. It means that you won't forget an ingredient, you won't lose something. In any professional kitchen, it is the number one rule that we all stick to.
I'm speaking with Joanne Chang, the chef and owner of Flower Bakery and Cafe in Boston. She's just released her second cookbook, Flower 2, and that's T-O-O, Indispensable Recipes for the Cafe's Most Loved Sweets and Savories. I'm talking about cooking tips here. Work clean is one of them. And I another one that I've really taken an interest in these days, Joanne, is the think about uses for foodstuffs you'd normally throw away, because we seem to throw away a lot of food here in the U.S.
Yeah, that's a really good one. That is one, again, that I think we take for granted in professional kitchens, because we're so used to having food scraps around and trying hard to repurpose them. And I think when you're at home and you're cooking, a lot of times the stuff that you could use to make something, another recipe better, you just throw into the trash. And, you know, especially things like Parmesan rinds, that's a really good one to thicken, you know, a minestrone or some sort of vegetable-based soup. Any sort of vegetable scraps, if you just save them and throw them into stock, they add so much flavor. Bread ends we use all the time for breadcrumbs and croutons. And we use them to make, you know, our bread pudding and our French toast. And so it really is a way to kind of stretch your mind a little bit and add a little of your own creativity when you're making a recipe. But pretty much everything that you bring into your kitchen can be repurposed for something to either enhance flavor or even make an entirely new dish out of it. So it's one of the tips that I really hope people take home with them.
I have to say, like with any cookbook, as I'm going through, I read, you know, the recipes, for instance, the maple apple upside down buttermilk cake that just starts my... you know, I just start salivating over, or, you know, I read about the, what is it, the apple PTVA?
Oh, the PTVA.
Yes.
That's one of my favorites.
But I notice a lot that you use this flour focaccia dough. And is that one of Flour's secrets?
Oh, yeah. This is our workhorse. This is the secret. I mean, if there is a secret at Flour, it is this dough. It is a pizza dough that I first learned how to make when I was the pastry chef at Rialto Restaurant in Cambridge. And we originally planned for this dough to just be the pizza dough for our daily pizzas. And what ended up happening was I made it into a loaf bread, and we sliced it up for sandwiches. And my opening chef took one bite of the sandwich that we made with this focaccia dough that we made into a sandwich loaf, and he said, okay, every single sandwich has to be on this bread. This bread is so good. And so that's what we did. We were going to get bread from another bakery, a wholesale bakery, and get different types of breads for every sandwich, and we ended up just using the this focaccia dough and making the sandwich loaves, and now we make, gosh, dozens and dozens of loaves every day at each location, and we slice them up, and they are the sandwich bread for all of our sandwiches.
I like how you wrote the little introductions to some of the recipes where you have, well, a number of recipes that after the first cookbook came out, everybody would say, well, why didn't you have this recipe in there? But I also was struck by the one for curried tuna with apples and golden raisins in the sandwich section, where you say, if there's a running theme in the food at Flower, it's that we take classic dishes and add a special twist to make them ours. And that's really what Flower is about, and well, Flower 2, the cookbook here, too.
Exactly. You know, we are in four different neighborhoods at this point, and one of the things we're always trying to do is create dishes that people will love. You know, obviously, that's what everybody, every restaurant and bakery and cafe tries to do. But at the same time, we are, in each of our neighborhoods, we have a very diverse clientele. And so, you know, tuna sandwich, tuna salad, very, very common sandwich sandwich. And tuna salad is, you know, everywhere. And so we wanted to offer a tuna salad, but we wanted to do something a little bit different. And one of my chefs came up with this curried tuna. It's got apples and golden raisins and a little bit of lime, a little bit of red onion, and then the curried mayonnaise. And people go crazy for it. And, you know, every now and then we think about, oh, well, maybe we should try to change it up and either do another variation or even go back to, you know, just a very standard tuna salad. And I get so many people who email me or stop me on the street or stop me at the bakery and say, I love your curried tuna. So we've decided this is one of the sandwiches that will probably never change. And we put it in the book so that if it does change, then you have the recipe in the book and you can make it at home.
Well, I know you're very busy. I appreciate your time. And thanks for all the recipes. I have already been dabbling a little bit, and there's quite a few I still want to dabble in. But thank you for providing them for us.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Joanne Chang, the chef owner of Flower Bakery and Cafe in Boston. Her new cookbook is Flower 2, T-O-O, Indispensable Recipes for the Cafe's Most Loved Sweets and Savories, available where books are sold. For more details about Flower Bakery, Joanne Chang, and the new cookbook, you can visit WVXU.org. This is Cincinnati Edition.